Thanks for tuning in to today's Power Walk Ministries. We're so glad to have you tune in and join us as pastor and teacher Reverend Paul Cannings continues teaching on the topic Forgiveness, a Biblical Perspective. At Power Walk, we're always ready to connect with you, so call us at 281-260-7402 or visit online at powerwalkministries.org. Don't forget to join us Monday through Friday right here at this same time and catch our television program every Sunday at 6 a.m. at My20 Houston. As we go deeper into this study, we find not only do we identify unforgiveness in our hearts, admit to it, release our offender to God, and extend mercy, but now Dr. Cannings takes us a step further through scriptures to actually rejoice and be glad when people come against us. Now, this has been a challenging teaching, and we're glad that you've tuned in. As Dr. Cannings now brings us part two of the message, The Blessing of Forgiveness.
Blessings are described in many forms and fashions today. People are blessed because of financial gains, whether it's in the stock market, whether it's a raise, whether it's gaining an inheritance. But blessings are viewed many times as materialistic. It's attached to a house or a car or promotion. Blessings are sometimes physical, where people would see blessings that they were healed from disease, and so they're blessed. All of those things we enjoy when they take place. The Bible talks about that in Psalm 112, Psalm 128, 127, the bottom part of it. So the Bible talks about blessings. It talks about riches. And we see Solomon blessed as a king because he asked God for wisdom rather than for things. And God chose to bless him with much riches. So don't need to be pretentious and act like, oh, if a person has those things, they just not have the right focus. Oh, no, come on now. If God puts the blessings that some people have in some folks' lap, they would change their whole theology. Job's friends, to me, made one point in all that Job went through. They said, you are blessed, Job, because you have God who is still concerned about you. And that is huge, because that's what Job relied on. He wished there was an intercessor, as we learn the need for Christ in the midst of trouble and hardship. Is that Job, in three or four different occasions, was to ask for an intercessor, someone who would plead his case. But he knew and did not for a minute think that God left him. It's just that God made decisions that he did not get. Oh, folks, one of the greatest things that sometimes we take for granted because we want the action of God towards our lives because we have needs. Let's be real about it. Our kids need clothes. Our kids need a home and a house to live in. They have a backyard to play in. All those different things we desire. Health issues come up, and we need God's blessing. So none of those are negative, but I just can't think honestly, folks, of something that is of more significance to a believer. It's being blessed because we are in right standing with God. There's not a person that doesn't sin. There are people who have gotten to periods in their lives like Paul would. They understand the scriptures. They're committed to walk in it. And as they walk in the light, as he's in the light, they have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ forgive them of their sins. In other words, as they keep going, they get to a point of purity. But they come to a point, no matter how long they live in that purity, that they sin. Okay, so it is not how perfect we are. It just means that that is our total emphasis as we live. And that our focus, our concentration is to be pleasing to God. Paul would say it this way. Whatever we do in word or in deed, we do it all to the glory of God. He would say, set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and our life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. That's the blessing. And folks, there should be no greater desire than to have this fellowship with God. And many times we don't seem to realize that when that fellowship is there, blessings are easy. It's not a problem. Because even if he chooses not to give us things, we learn contentment like Paul did. Even if things are overwhelming, we can rejoice. And again, I say rejoice like Paul. Even if we are broke and don't know how we're going to make it the next day, our conviction, our faith in God is so strong, we still can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. The greatest blessing is to have a fellowship with God. And that passion and desire is what drove Paul. chapter 3, he would say it. I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, profit from having Christ totally dominating my life. And don't forget what that verse coming after. It's coming after a verse like this. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. It's that kind of verse it comes after. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. That's why I'm at it. I'm at the point where I want to so not take anything more serious than Christ that if they decide to cut my head off, I would kneel down, put my head in those stocks, and get it cut off. It does not matter to me anything than gaining Christ, experiencing all that he is. Oh, folks, when that becomes your best, we don't mind what Matthew chapter 6, verse 11 says, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you. Blessed? That's an oxymoron if I ever heard one. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you. You are blessed. How in the world could that be? I sure would like to find out. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, this is what Peter teaches when he says it this way. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. Okay? Think of Job, suffering for the sake of righteousness. Think of Paul, suffering for the sake of righteousness. Think of Moses, moving the people through the wilderness, seeking to meet with God and listen to God and experience God's direction and submitting to God's direction. Yeah, he messed up one time. The Bible is saying, hey, he is blessed for giving up his job and going to Egypt and living in the wilderness with all these people who were rebellious by their very nature. Oh, bless is Moses. God himself buried him, took him to heaven, blessed him to come back into the promised land at the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses is on it throughout the Bible. Blessed. Blessed was Elijah. So walking with God, God says, you know what? Why don't you just come up here? Let's have some keeping this fellowship going. Blessed. Who can touch him if God didn't allow it? That's why Paul will continue to say that. He would say, if God is for you, who can stand against you? Who can stand? Meaning, who can continually create damage on you? Who can stand up to you? And that's why he says it here. He says, and do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts. He doesn't say you be quiet, let him beat you up. He says, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is within you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Blessed. Blessed is the person. Now, he goes down to list a lot of blessings before he gets to verse 11. So he says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Wow! That's how blessed they will be. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. God, in all his power, authority, and oversight, will make life productive, beneficial. And the word blessing also has within it economical benefit. And he would also provide them happiness. That's what the word also means. So a person who's being persecuted, God will bring them happiness. They will have situations and circumstances because they're receiving mercy. They are experiencing the kingdom of heaven functioning for them and God's oversight watching over them. So they will receive his goodness. So this person who continues to experience that will end up happy. Look at verse 12. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. So when the person dies and goes to heaven, their reward is not just good. It's great. It's exceedingly, abundantly great. That's what it means. The word great means to be exceeding and abundant. You don't have enough space to put it in. He is saying this person, even though in terms of earthly circumstances, Paul had nothing to be happy about. Here he was in dungeon towards the close of his life, asking for a cloak from Timothy because he's cold. Okay, how do earthly people see that as success? But folks, when Paul gets his crown of righteousness, he fought a good fight and get a crown for being faithful to God. Oh, I don't think forever you'll be thinking that. His reward in heaven is great. But so suppose we spend 70 years here. There is no end to heaven. Where would you rather have your blessing, earth or heaven? Where would the investment, where your life's investment would mean most? Only where we know that the things we do for Christ last. So folks, he says, rejoice and be glad when people do evil against you. And they insult you and talk bad because God has just decided to elevate you to be blessed. He's decided for the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So you're not unique. You're not something weird happening to us. And that's why, folks, it doesn't hurt to forgive because it's a blessing to be blessed by God when we are persecuted, insulted for doing the things of God. As God has taught us, as we have seen in his word and surrendered to his will to do, that in a world that hates God can bring much persecution, insults, accusations that you never even thought about. It can bring it all. But the Bible says you'll be blessed. God will bless you exceedingly abundantly beyond all you could ever ask or think. So folks, the best thing in the midst of a world that can do that and require you to forgive is to know that God will bless you. And there's nothing of greater importance than that blessing. He loves you. He knows that you love him in your heart. And he's always seeking you out. Remember his love for you, in spite of how sometimes you treat him. And you'll always seek him. And folks, that is a blessing.
Thank you, Dr. Cannings. It's true, God loves you so much, even irrespective of how we treat him sometimes. So then, can we offer less to the people around us? We are, in fact, called to love our neighbors as ourselves. Now, if this series has been a blessing to you, then please call us today to secure your copy at 281-260-7402. Power Walk seeks to bless you with the Word of God, but this offer allows us to share the privilege to be a blessing with others as well. Your financial gift will be used to equip local leaders, provide resources, and fund our outreach efforts in communities all over the world. Learn more about being a Power Walk partner by logging on to powerwalkministries.org. That's powerwalkministries.org. Or call us at 281-260-7402. That's 281-260-7402. Remember, as we heard today of the many examples in scriptures, we too can rejoice and be glad when we're persecuted, and know that our reward is in heaven.